Most weight loss programs are short-term fixes, but managing your weight needs a long-term solution. And that's what makes Noom different. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Before we get started with tonight's episode of Benched with Bubba, I want to talk to you about RotoBaller.com, proud sponsor of the show. Do my written content over at RotoBaller.com, and this podcast is a part of the RotoBaller Radio Network. So I want to let you know that football season quickly approaching with you guys. Win big in 2021 with RotoBaller.com's NFL Premium Pass. Are you ready to dominate your season-long in DFS leagues? RotoBaller's NFL Premium Pass and Draft Kit include rankings, projections, and cheat sheets for all formats. Get exclusive draft articles, DFS tools, lineup optimizers, and premium Slack chats. Join in on the winning and take 50% off any Premium Pass. Use promo code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A, for another 10% discount. Just visit rotoballer.com/radio, sign up today, and start rotoballing like a boss. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 409. I have a recurring guest to Benched with Bubba, a great person that you guys need to follow on Twitter if you're not already. A good human being, great baseball analyst, all in one. His tool Specs and Q, we're going to talk about today. As we talked about before, he's on the show. We're going to get an update, look into 2022, all that great stuff, because it is October. It's already 2022 draft season, so it never ends as we get going. We're kind of slow playing it this year, but we're getting going there. So to join me tonight on this episode, you can find him on Twitter at C-A Marcano, M-A-R-C-A-N-O, Carlos Marcano. How are we doing, my friend?
All good, Brian, all good. And extremely happy to be here again, as I told you before. I always appreciate you inviting me, and I love talking baseball with you because you're not only a great guy, but you are very knowledgeable. So two for one, man. What else can I ask for?
Ditto, my friend, ditto. And I forgot to plug it, but you can find the Specs and much more of his great work at pitcherlist.com, which we all know is a phenomenal website, as we've had many members of PitcherList on this great this show. But how's anything else? How'd your fantasy season go? Like, what's going on? Because it's been a while since we chatted. It was probably, I could have looked, but I should have looked. But I want to say May or June maybe, something like that. So it's been a little while. How'd things turn out for you?
So I had a pretty decent fantasy season, to be honest. One of the things I loved the most was my first participation in TGA FBI, which we were in the same league, and so what's so cool that we had a four-way tie in the third place.
Yes, crazy.
It was really crazy, and everything in the last day, and well, Zach Waxman just obliterated
us. He did his own thing.
Yeah, we were just looking for the second place, which I think John Russell got, and and then we got third with Ryan Bloomfield and the dog from Triple Play Fantasy, and both of us. So I mean, it was pretty cool because first participation in the FBI, and actually I've never even used the NFBC side at all, so it was like my baptism, and I loved it. I learned a lot from you guys, to be honest.
You did great. Like, it was a fun league. I've been fortunate because I've been in it all, I think, 4 years now that they've done this, And it's grown, obviously, every year. And it's how I get to meet people like yourself and others. Like, I've had so many people that I've been in a league with. Well, heck, the first year I was in a league with, like, Jeff Erickson from RotoWire. And that's how I met him. And then he, like, we start. So I was kind of, like, in your shoes. And, like, it just kind of it domino effects. But the purpose of the thing, like, Justin made is great because it gets all of us together. Yeah. Like, new voices, old voices, perfect. But the fortunate thing is I've seen it throughout the years. There's always a few leagues that just kind of – you have like two or three teams and everything else is kind of people give up because it's a free league and there's a lot of other things going on in life. I get it. I've been fortunate every year. There's always a battle for like the top five or six spots. Like it's always been a battle. So it's not like you can just be like, I got second place. I'm good. No, every single last year, even I was anywhere between second and fourth place the entire final week. We were just fighting the whole time. And similar to this league, it was really cool to see. Even though no money on the line, it's all pride, it's all just, and people still playing. And that's what I love about it. That's why I've always been a guy that doesn't need to play for money. It's fun, don't get me wrong. But I just like to play fantasy baseball, and I pride's an important thing for me. So I had a blast playing with you, my friend, that I'm looking forward to. I doubt we'll be in the same team that league next year because he mixes things up, but it'll be fun.
Sure. And that was one of the, you know, a nice highlight for this season. And I did well. I had some bad luck in terms of injuries because most of my teams were Mike Trout, Byron Buxton based on the hitting side. So, I mean, it's impossible to replace Trout. And the way Buxton was playing, it was even harder to replace and get. You know, so that hurt me a little bit, but on the pitching side, I did pretty nicely, to be honest. It was my strong, thing this year for my fantasy team. So I really enjoyed it. I think this was like my first year playing and doing analysis, and I think it made me a better player and a better analyst at the same time. So I think it was, a really good situation, win-win situation for me.
No, and I love the way you said that because it is so true. Like not everybody has the time to do it. So that's why they look at our material and our podcast and stuff. And thank you for that. Like, that's great. But if you do have the time, like I've said from day one, like I'll make rankings. But when you go into a draft, if you make your own, you're probably better off. Like I can give you the blueprint, but and like use specs, use some other things and build your models or whatever. That's awesome. That's the end game. Like you want to be able to do it yourself if you can. Yeah. And I'm with you because before I started doing analyst work, I look back now and laugh. Wow. How did I even like, what was I doing? Because like you miss on so many things when you just show up in a draft and, you know, read a couple of like it's interesting. So I'm glad you said that because it's so, so true. I don't think it's talked about enough that it's like the yin and the yang. It kind of works together in a very good way. So that's really cool as well.
I didn't even know what the Fab League was. So there you are. I mean,
my first year at TGFBI was my first NFBC, my first Fab League, and it is baptism by fire. You are 100% with that comment. It is. And each year you get a little better at it, but then there's always that week where you're like, wow, what just happened? Like where did that it never ends. So Fab is one of those I've talked about. Everyone's talked about it. If anyone ever gets the perfect recipe, let me know. You can make millions of dollars. You can make all the money because every league is so different. It's insane. So
totally right.
It's a wild one. But I said I have you back because I enjoy talking to you, of course. So before we go into specs, I have to ask one question though. Let's talk baseball. The Oakland A's, like the Giants, they lost obviously, so I had a rough ending too. The A's, what are we going to do with them? Because it happened again, my friend. Like the talent is there. It's just like one thing that just doesn't have that one extra push. Like what are we going to do?
I think we are cursed, man.
I think such a good team every year. It's just like,
I'm starting to believe in the Billy Bean cursed, to be honest, or something like that. Because I mean, being too cheap curse or something like that. But actually, we even did well on the during the trade deadline. We got, I mean, you could not get better than starting Marty. I think Oakland was the winner. Well, I mean, the Dodgers got Scherzer and Turner, but you were expecting to a big reward by getting them. But what Starling did in the second half was just short of amazing. He was just incredible. At the end, pitching is the name of the game, you know? And Chris Bassitt by himself couldn't, you know, keep everything rolling. I'm not saying that the other guys weren't cool, because we got nice surprises with Cole Irvin and Caprillion and even, well, Sean Manea did, you know. But we had an ace and the rest in that side. So it's really hard to win these days like that, unless you have the best bullpen, like you know, Milwaukee does, like most of the teams right now had amazing. Most of the teams that advanced to the playoffs, Chicago, most had an amazing bullpen, and also had some great starting pitching. So it's really hard, especially in this day and age where batting is struggling so much against pitching, that whenever a batter gets a not so great pitcher in front of him, they will make you pay for that. So I think we need a big overhaul in that regard. But I don't know if there's gonna be the dollars, and I have this love hate relationship with the A's, and I think it's gonna be forever like that. Yeah. I was rooting for San Francisco a lot, because for multiple reasons, and I thought this was going to be, you know, an amazing end, like you know, that Cinderella story. And I still think there's a lot to be happy for you guys.
Yeah, definitely. they're a year or two early this year, and so it'll be interesting. They got a lot of money to spend coming up, a lot of money to spend, and they will spend it. So I'm not worried about that. Yeah, they will.
I don't know that feeling.
Yeah, I feel so bad, like, because like yourself, I have a bunch of friends that are A's fans. I'm close to the, like, I can go to an A's game. It's just like, you have so many close pieces. Just like, put a couple things with it, and like, bring Starling Marte back. Go get a starting pitcher. Like, they got the money. It's like when teams start saying they don't have the money, I just, but.
And now we don't even know if they're going to be in Oakland. Yeah. There's just all this. I mean, the Coliseum is a terrible place to play baseball.
They do need a new stadium.
Yes. Yeah. So, but I've heard this story for the last 15 years or so about moving and never happens. I know the owner wants a free stadium practically. So that's something really hard. It's tough, and next year it's gonna happen again. They're gonna make me get hopeful, and they're gonna break my heart sometime during the year.
Yeah, I'd still take that, I think, because like the couple previous seasons where the Giants are really bad, like I used to religiously watch every game at night and go to bed late. Those seasons, I was like, that's the wife what you wanted to watch on TV. Like, I didn't even care. Like, I lost all interest because they were throwing out AAA teams and stuff. It was bad. So I think I'd rather root for the A's, like, the way they at least keep you in it. You always have the Astros to worry about. The Mariners are going to get better. The division's going to be tough. It's always got one or two teams that keep it interesting. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. And they still have good prospects. Like, that's one thing they do. That's why they stay as good as they do, is the young kids come up, they just don't spend money, and they just keep the rotation going like that. And there's something to be said about that, but there's also something to be said about spend a few dollars. So
sure,
we'll see. The thing is, it's a very good balance. So we'll see how that goes. I like when both the A's and the Bay Area is strong. I enjoy that a lot. But we'll see.
I had some things go really bad for me this year. Some did go really well for me. But the one thing I regret was not doing an article I was going to do about the big chances that San Francisco had. And this was back in February or something. I discussed it with my manager in Pitcher List, Mark McElroy. And I decided at the end to do something else, but that's the thing I regret the most.
You look like the gigantic genius. You look like Nostradamus now, over there.
Now I'm just, you know, the same old.
No, you know, no, stupid. Stop. I'll finish that sentence.
But I love that. I really love that. It's built differently. It's more than the sum of its parts. It's a really nice team.
Yeah, so we'll see how it keeps going, because a lot of moving pieces still to come with free agency and everything. So it's not the end product. I know that much, but it's a good framework to get going on where they want to be. So and Farhan, we trust. That's what I keep telling myself. And Farhan, we trust. So just keep doing your thing, man. Just keep doing it. Kapler can make me scratch my head, but Farhan, do your thing. But all right, my friend, let's talk specs. We'll do specs first, then we'll do Q. We'll kind of separate them out here. One's pitching, one's hitting, for those that don't know. And that's why we're going to recap it real quick. If you want to give a run through, remind everybody what specs is.
So if I put it like in simple way, it's catch it all stat to kind of, because you can never catch any all of it in baseball, right? But I had this idea that there could be a way of putting together the most useful stats that we typically use: K minus BB percentage, CSW, which is this amazing stat that the Nick and Alex at Pitcher List put together, and other stats that I was typically looking when I was doing pitching analysis. So we did a lot of math, a lot of testing, and we put together this index, which I call the specs, and it aggregates these stats together and will give you a simple number that it's scale around from 1 to 100. And that's like, let's start digging what's in his specs, and then we can go deeper, it's something that can turn on the alarms on someone. Hey, look, this guy it's getting better here, so it deserves to be to dig a little bit deeper on what he is doing to get better or getting worse. So it's basically that I try to catch it all stat, and it's comprised of K minus BB percentage, CSW percentage, O swing percentage, and zone percentage, which are the chasing and the percentage of how does the pitcher typically gets into the zone, the strike zone, plus and very important ERA estimator, which is PCRA, which is a fantastic, I mean, by itself it's really good, really amazing, that is creation by Connor Kirkin, who is now after the last time we talked, now he's working for the Astros in their R&D department. So I mean, you have to take his work seriously because they are taking him very seriously there. So we put it together and we got a number that helps. It's been helping a lot.
Yeah, the part that makes me laugh already is you said it's a scale from 1 to 100, which we talk about. So, like most things this season, Jacob DeGrom broke this thing, is what it looks like.
Oh, yeah.
he's at 103.4. And that's only pitching like two-thirds of a season, maybe. He's just ridiculous. Crazy. But it's like I told you off air, and I said last time on the show when we talked, the reason I love this stat and when we look at the hitting stat is, these are the stats, like you said, that we really focus on, like PCRA. If people know about it, they use it because it is a great, it's probably one of the best out of all of like the Sierras and the XERAs and all these.
Yeah.
But like the K to walk percentage is a huge one. That's if you just want to start out initially, and I've done it, just looking at leaderboards, like, hey, here are the top K to walk guys. And that's a great indicator right out the gate. Then you mentioned O swing and zone swing and CSW, which is legendary, and it's only been here for a few years, but it's legendary already. So you combine them all, and it makes sense because it's like a way of kind of building the perfect pitcher in theory.
Yeah.
And so it's a very good tool. And what I like about it, and when you know it's a good tool, is you have the big guys up top with the DeGroms and the Hendricks and the Burns and the Iglesias, like the guys you'd expect. But then you still have guys that kind of show up like, okay, that stands out. Now I got to look into it a little more. And then that's why I like a good stat like this, because it incorporates both and it kind of checks out like, yeah, this is good. But then even guys like 14th on the season, and we'll go back to some other things, but just off the top of my head, like 14th in the season, Aaron Nola's still there. And Carlos, you've seen it. I've seen it. We've probably all said it. this year was tough for Aaron Nola. And if you're an Aaron, if you rostered Aaron Nola, it was very tough. But everyone kept saying that like the underlying stats looked great. Something it's just giving up a ton of home runs. And when you look at specs, it checks. It checks out. So when you're looking at your specs leaderboard, where's kind of your cutoff point to being like, okay, this guy's still a very good pitcher, or this guy is kind of in trouble? Like, is it at 50, or where do you look?
Yeah, I know. I try to go a little higher. When they pass the 75 mark, they start to catch my attention. You know, I can check a little bit, you know, down on the list, because if I know a guy was hurt or there are other things going around him, well, that could, you know, represent what's happening with him. But whenever they pass the 75 mark, it's when I've seen that they start to get interesting, that there's something with them happening that we are not seeing with other stats or in his performance, but they might start to get better after that. So 75 is like my cutoff.
That makes sense. On the sheet, the sheet's available to anybody. So, like, he tweets it out all the time when it's updated, which is almost every day or every other day or something. It seems like it's frequently.
Whenever the kids and wife let me.
Yeah. People need to understand that all of us that have kids or wives, it's not always easy to get things out there pronto. So, you're going to get what you get and enjoy it. But like you on the leaderboard, you have the last 30 days, you have the last 15 days. So you kind of you narrow things down. I want to ask you, because we know certain stats take longer to develop and all these kind of things, but we could also look at smaller sample sizes to kind of try to get ahead of the game, per se. Yeah. When you're looking at your 30 and your 15 day samples, obviously not for this year, but say we start to think about next year when we're using the same tool, where do you kind of like say, okay, this guy is really good, or is this more of a, hey, let me dig in on this guy instead of just going straight after, I need to grab him type thing?
Sure. Yeah. Well, as with most stats, the bigger the sample, the better, to be honest. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, if you can, the more innings that you can provide, the better. But doing testing and checking out about that calendar month, it starts to be enough to give us, you know, a good sample. And it starts being useful. I like to use the 15 days, 30 days, and season chart that I added to the spreadsheet, because that way you won't be, you know, fooled by the whole season number, when you can see if there's been any degrading of on the performance for the past 15 and 30 months. That will, you know, still doesn't have the enough time to have its way into the total stat. So I think that's very important, that if you're looking at the charts, always check those 15 and 30 days, because you can see if he's improving or he's degrading his performance. But about a month, it starts to be useful.
Well, I don't want to give all of the cool names away that people should look at, but just looking at the 30-day one, a guy that I always have trouble with, he's ranked 18th, is Blake Snell. So, and we all know it. Now, this isn't me downplaying it. I'm saying he's finished the year very strong, like very strong. Yeah. And this is why I like stuff like this, is right here, it says 18th. And then you look, his K to walk was almost 35% in the last 30 days. His CSW is 33.3. His O swing was almost 38%. His zone was 40.5. Like, these are all really good numbers, especially that K to walk and that CSW. Like, that's jump off the page. And then it starts, so you have to start thinking, okay, as we're doing off-season research, well, let's go dig in. What did he do the last month? Did he change his pitch mix-up? Did he do this? Did he do that? Is it sustainable type things?
Exactly.
And that's why I wanted to have you back on, because as we're doing our research for 2022, I think this is very good, because we can look at the full season one, which obviously is great. And obviously you have the big dogs up there. You have some other things. Awesome. But then you can drop down to these 30-day ones and start seeing that and going, okay, maybe there's something more to it. Let me look into it. Because especially for a guy like me, it'll help me think, okay, if I wasn't in on him, I didn't like Blake Snell, I don't believe, well, maybe I should be, or at least look at it before I completely write him off. So I think that's very, very useful. Also, the 15-day, like you said, the 30-day is probably better, but at least the 15 might kind of open up your eyes to a few more guys as well. But a lot to unpack with this. What other ways would you use this? Because that's kind of how I would use it for 2022. What would you use from this 2021 data to get you maybe interested in different guys for 2022?
So I would start with the season long number just to, you know, see and try to separate, as you said, you know, the stats from the, well, where, how does the guy end up so high? And then I'd move on to the 30 or 15 days to see if they ended on a strong note. So that would be reassuring in terms of, okay, there's something brewing here. I need to check out. And then I would go from there. I that would help me, you know, get a short list of guys and then go deeper in other stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of pretty straightforward. Long season and then check how did they end up. Also, we can see if what I've checked is that sometimes when you see them underperforming in the past 15 or 30 days, there is a good chance that there might be some injury or something, you know, extra going on. So that will lead me to try to find out, looking for news or something regarding what's happening with this guy. So if the numbers aren't that good in 15 or 30 days, that's also helpful because I can start looking around if the guy's hurt or did he change his mechanic or there was something that made him degrade too much in his performance.
No, I like that. That's very true. Because even if you look from the full year, Sandy Alcantara is like a 74.4. So it's kind of on that border of 75. If you look at the last month where we know he just went, when he did the pitch mix change, and he's like a top 20 guy in this spec. So definitely, like, again, you can look at, was it an injury? Was it a pitch mix change? Guys go opposite ways. Like you said, could be an injury. A lot of things. So that's why I like this. And also, I think I'm going to keep saying the Nola one because I know I'm going to buy in for next year. And, you know, the season long one, you have him, he's at 14. You look at the 30 days, he's at 22, but his overall specs number is still higher than it was for the season. So he's still doing things. Yeah. Like he's still doing the good things. Just can't keep the ball in the ballpark. But that's a struggle. When you're looking at all these stats, the K to walks, the CSWs, the O swing, so on and so forth, which one do you think is the most important when you're looking, like, say you're trying to evaluate the full season, the 30s and 15s, you're just looking at this for now and trying to figure out maybe what went wrong, which one would be the biggest, like, mover for you?
I like to keep it simple. Chi minus walks rules. It's so deceptively simple that you could mistakenly say that it's not good enough or not advanced or complicated enough. Yeah. I mean, if you can draft a good team, maybe you won't get these sleepers or things like that you need to win your fantasy league, but you could still end up with a good pitching staff by using chi minus walk percentage. And that's an experiment I want to do next year. I'm gonna rank by K minus walk percentage. I'm gonna draft by that in cheat sheet only because I think that it would be interesting to see the result by the end of the year.
I'm doing a similar thing. Sorry to cut you off there, but the draft we did in First Pitch Arizona that we started, I was just going off the K minus walk leaderboard for the most part, and kind of in conjunction with innings pitched. And it can be very fun. But continue with what you're going to say.
No, I mean that would be the first thing. But and second place PCRA and CSW percentage definitely they add a depth to the analysis that it's very important. PCRA works with battered balls and how hard barrels and things like that this amazing new information that we can use for the past 5-7 years and it adds a lot of information that is very useful. And CSW percentage, as you say, I mean it's just incredible. It looks simple. Mm-hmm. That it's like, wow, how did anyone
not do this
do this before? What were we thinking, you know? Yep. and it's really, I like it because it's really easy to understand and you can ah, man, this makes sense and works.
Yep. Yeah. A pitcher that gets a lot of called strikes and a lot of whiffs, they should be good. So it's like that'll translate to the K to walk percentage more often than not. But so will the zone percentage. Yep. It should limit the walks and so on and so forth. So it does make a lot of sense. But I'm glad I just wanted to have that discussion on K to walks. It's such an easy stat and also one that kind of gets overlooked. It feels like at times, maybe I'm wrong, but in conjunction with these other ones, could be very, very strong. And if you guys look at the specs leaderboard, the page that Carlos shares, there's links to the PCRA article, the CSW article, his specs article, all that stuff, and even a tip jar, which he deserves. So check all that stuff out. But I got to go reread the PCRA article, because I think I had Connor on right when he started coming out with that. And so much of that went right over my head. I was just like, what? it's insane what he put together there. Let's talk about a couple pitchers here that do show up on this chart that have been kind of interesting finishes of the season, kind of looking ahead to next year. And one name that stands out to me right out the gate is Michael Kopech. He is eighth on the season in your specs rating, and almost an 85 specs. But then you look at like the last 30 days, he's up on the board. He's ninth in the last 30 days. If you go to the last 15 days, he might have dropped a bit because he wasn't as strong. We still very good numbers. So it translates 30 days, full season, very strong. I guess the question is, does he go in the rotation? What do we expect from him? What are your thoughts on Michael Kopech for 2022, who now could be a value, but I think his price is going to go up.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He's worth a speculative ad, but there's a lot of uncertainty behind him. And the most important one is how La Russa is going to use him. And the answer to that question is can be anything. I mean, he might still use him on just as a reliever. And there's also health concerns always with Kopech, you know. So and that will surely be baked in his ADP for next year. I think, for example, for leagues where you have ratios, he's a great ad. Where you can have K divided by walks in your stats or things like that, he would do really, really good there. And he might get into the rotation at some point, and he will add, you know, wins and more Ks and volume to that. And that's important work for next year, and was something very important this year, volume. Most guys that did well in this year got enough volume from their pitchers, and this was a big question after the pandemic year: who was going to get enough innings, who wasn't, injuries and things. And that's where Kopech concerns me in terms of volume, and we don't have an answer right now. I think so, but if you can afford him and stash him somewhere, I think he could be a big sleeper for next year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love the talent. Even going into this last season, the more I saw him pitch in spring training, I was like, okay, if you want to get some like middle long reliever types in your draft, if you're not comfortable with some streaming options, I think Kopech's great. That panned out, but at the same time, did it help your team? Because like you said, innings is so key right now. It's like a big talking point. And it's a big talking point because for the most part, all the data shows you need the innings. And Kopech for his innings is good. But like you said, he pitched 69 in the third innings last year. Can we get 140? Can he double that next year? And then it could be interesting if that's what we're going to do. But if he doesn't double it, we could be in trouble. So, yeah, I just want to get your thoughts on that because that's a big talking point with him.
His K percentage was ridiculous, 36%. Oh, yeah. So that's, you know, amazing. If we can get a lot of that, it would be amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be huge. It's like if he could do that, be tremendous. Or at least, you know, from time to time, use him while you can. But it'd be tough to put a draft pick on him because he's not going to come cheap. So, definitely want to look at there. I wanted to bring it up because I understand why, especially after your discussion again of explaining the charts. But for those that come in and go, okay, I'm new to this, I want to look at it. Well, Jacob DeGrom's first and Tyler Glasnow's seventh. How does that work? It's because they're that good. and the numbers don't change. Can you just explain to people, I guess it could be simple, of why even the injured guys are still rated so high? Because it's not as much of a, I guess, counting stat thing. It's more of a percentage thing.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't take the counting stat too much into the equation. So that could be a flow for some things or some leagues. It depends on how are you managing your things. I want to make a point before. He's 7th, but the difference between him and DeGrom, it's almost you know, 20 points. So DeGrom is the difference between the first place and second place. It's more than the difference between the second place and I think the fifth or something like that. So DeGrom is just a way of everyone. But Glasnow, I know that a lot of people doesn't like Glasnow because he's basically a two-pitch pitcher, although he added kind of another pitch this year. And the injury concerns, it's also big. And we don't know exactly when it's going to return. I think he's going to miss most of next year too, right? I'm not pretty sure.
Probably like half the season at least, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, he won't be in the radar for a lot of people next year. But the talent, he's proven most of the people wrong, Glasnow, and he did it again next year. Those that don't trust him, he's like a better version of Dinelson Lamet in terms of having only two pitch. So I like him a lot, but he will not be in my drafts for next year. And unless, you know, second chances draft or something, he might be interesting for those. But and as to going to your question, yes, the reason he's there so well ranked is because Specs doesn't take counting stats that in you know too heavily in its formula.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I just wanted to bring that to people's attention when they look at it because he deserves to be there because that's how good he was before he got hurt. Like, look at the ratios. It was pretty impressive what he was doing. I was 100% wrong on Tyler Glasnow this year. I won't even victory lap that he missed most of the season, so I might have been right, but he was ridiculous when he pitched. Like, just so good. One thing I noticed, especially on the top rankings for the most part, like the top 20 to 25 or so, lots of closers, lots of relievers into this. Do you factor this in more so when you're, because in the closers landscapes it's a mess right now, really focus on this, like, because like Hendricks is number two and then Iglesias is number four, but Hendricks is the first closer, Iglesias is the second. A lot of people probably have Iglesias fifth or sixth on their closers list. Would this bump Iglesias up for you?
I'm all in for getting Iglesias next year, before Hendricks, and this is because of the pricing. He's going to be a lot cheaper. Well, maybe not a lot, because that's another trend. I think people are going for big closers early next year because of what happened this year. And there were a few guys that got a lot of save, and the big guys, even Chapman, that melt down at the end, he still was very useful and kind of sure thing most of the time. And also Edwin Diaz, the big names, they weren't stellar, but they were a good buy. So maybe Iglesias won't be that cheap next year, but he will be in a better pricing range than Hendricks. So I would recommend anyone to get it. And we have this closer here because that's on purpose. I got the inning pitch limit to get into the leaderboard at 65 innings pitch. That way I can get most of the good relievers, because most of if you were good enough, you could get this amount of innings being a reliever. So it would help people, you know, kind of sort them out in the leaderboard. Because if I increase the cutoff more, then I would just skip all of them. So I wanted to have a representation of the better guys in there.
Makes a lot of sense. Makes a ton of sense, actually, because I also think if people are using, say, in season for relief pitcher help, I think the 15 to 30 days is like almost better for relievers than it is for starters, personally, because you can see the hot hands and it'll kind of also incorporate usage because you can see innings pitched. Okay, well, in the last 15 days, this guy threw like three innings. Okay, and he had this K to walk and so on and so forth. I think that's very big. Also, when everyone's saying like, you know, Kenley Jansen's having a horrible year, well, he doesn't rank very high in the season long, but in the last 15 days, he's 14th on the specs list and he's 12th in the last 30 days. So he finished the year very strong. Camilo Duvall doesn't make it on because he only had like 13 or 14 innings pitched total this year.
Yeah.
But now you can go to these smaller ones and see, hey, he's 14th in the last 30 days.
Sure.
So when you're doing your prep for 2022, how are you going about the closing situation using these charts?
So I take them with a grain of salt because of the smaller sample, of course. This is, and to be honest, I'm going with the big names most of the time in closers. If I'm not going to do, you know, let's see what I can get in the final rounds. Every league is different, right? But I think it's going to be important to get saves earlier next year. I mean, if you can get Josh Hader, go for him. If you can get Hendrix Iglesias, for sure, go for him. Because you know that what you're paying for, it's going to be, well, in baseball and in life, nothing is bankable, but it's, you know, at least more bettable.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, no, I'm just having fun scroll through these things for the 2022 research. But a couple more I wanted to mention before we get over to Q. And this next one's just kind of a selfish thing for mine, but it was very interesting to me. Again, I just want to keep bringing this up because you can look at the full season, the 30 will say something different. It kind of gives you an encompassing feel for things. So the Giants, Gossman's 18th on the season. But then you slide on down. Logan Webb is 29th, and Alex Wood is 31st. I just want to bring that up because everyone likes to point to Logan Webb right now, and for good reason. And Gossman was still very good, had some hiccups in the second half. But Alex Wood still checks the boxes, and he had some good finishes of the season. So I wanted to bring that into light. We don't have to talk about that. I just wanted to bring that up that – it's interesting to kind of see that it's like you see like the Alex Woods is rating out close to some other guys that are like, this is interesting. Again, look at this. Alex Wood rated out better than Lucas Giolito. Let's put it that way. So something to think of. But the one I want to ask you on is Tanner Houck. I love. We don't have to talk about him. He just ranked high, so that got me happy. What I wanted to ask you on is Sonny Gray. This because I've been torn on Sonny Gray. I've been asked by a few people already what to do with Sonny Gray. I think he's a great pitcher. I couldn't put my finger on – I haven't dug in enough, but I haven't been able to put my finger on what just went wrong this past year. It was like just every start just seemed like it got worse at times. But he still ranks out with a 76.4 on the season, so that was pretty solid. When you're using your specs and what you've seen, what are your thoughts on Sonny Gray for 2022?
So his is this Pandora box that drives people and personally crazy, and I – to be honest, I like to avoid these pitchers. You have to go as steady as you can in fantasy baseball. Maybe you're steadily with a high floor or steadily looking for a good ceiling, but these kinds of peaks and valley pitchers are going to mess with you a lot. So I would personally avoid Sonny Gray for next year. He's going to be cheap because of the situation of this year. He was, as you put it. But even though he is not doing bad in the specs, he was, I think you mentioned it.
He's 43rd, 76.4. Like, it's still pretty good.
Yeah, 76.4. But if you go to the 30 days and 15 days, you can see that he was degrading his performance on below the 75 mark. So that's a big red flag for me. And that's why he was living his whole season specs was living for was making him look better than he was developing in the final month. So I would avoid Sonny Gray at all costs.
And it's interesting because you mentioned the 30 days and the decline. And I remember he was battling back issues the last couple months of the season. So it'll
be interesting. There might be something there. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. But again, I wanted to bring him up because you look at the main page, and like you said, okay, look at the other ones. We can see kind of how things vary. But it's kind of fun because if people just look at the blind numbers here and just go off of it, well, you know, Lance Lynn, he's right around Lance Lynn. And like, I love Lance Lynn a lot for the innings and everything. But right below him, Ranger Suarez, popular name. Our boy Eduardo Rodriguez, like, this guy's amazing. Oh. And he's sitting there right below Sonny Gray, Dylan Cease, Walker Buehler. It's a very interesting situation. So some people might see that and be like, well, he's with all these really good pitchers. You know, I should take him. But like you said, look at the 30. Go look at the 15. Keep digging and see why is he here compared, and then what happened. Like, what was the end result? And that makes it quite intriguing to me.
That's why I put this graph, this simple bars where you can see them compare, and you can even compare them with other great pitchers. Point. That helps a lot because you can really quickly see any trend there that can help you.
Yeah. And by the way, that's awesome, actually. That's really good.
I'm planning to, like, a 2.0 version of this that it's going to integrate more graphics and things like that I think it's going to be a more helpful for people. So I hope to have it for the beginning of next season.
That'll be awesome because that helps the people like me that are just visually stimulated compared to, like, after looking at numbers for like 10 minutes and it's like, okay, what can we do now? But like you have it here and people should check it out. You can pick 1, 2, 3 players. He's got Sonny Gray, Tanner Houck, and Aaron Nola, guys that are kind of all ranked, give or take, around him. Houck much ahead of him, but it shows bar graphs for the season, which shows Sonny Gray's ahead, like, right there with them, but then 30 days, 15 days, and then the gap starts to widen. So it's a very cool thing, and you can compare all the things, that, like he said, different pitchers. It's a great tool, so I can't wait to see what you come up with next on that. Let's go to the queue. The Q is the hitting portion of this, the Q stat here. And similar to pitching, it incorporates the big stats, the ones we want, a lot of StatCast stats, the blast stat, the dynamic hard hit, the Kirkland stat. You have so many things it incorporates here. So why don't you remind everybody what the Q metric is?
So putting it simple, it tries to, you know, to get how hard is the batter hitting the ball, and putting it together with how well is his swing being consistent enough to get good hits. Let me explain a little bit more. The hard part, I mean, that's kind of easy in terms of how to understand it, but it has a stat behind it, which also was developed by Connor. And I think that I'm gonna have to pay royalties to him because he does all this great stuff. It's a stat called the dynamic hard hitting, which is kind of the hard hitting percentage that we have in StatCast, and I think FanGraphs also have it. With they put it like the percentage of balls batter beyond a threshold, which is 95 miles per hour. Anything that the batter hits beyond that, it's considered a hard hit ball. So that's one thing. But Connor added a dynamic part to it that it states that not every ball hit that hard has to be considered hard hit, because it depends also on the launch angle that was hit. You know, there are better launch angles that can get you harder hit balls, but there are also, if the guy hit it maybe at a lower speed but at more extreme and extremer angle, like, you know, a huge fly ball or maybe into the ground, that indicates raw power too. So he did all this study and he came up with the formula, and I took it and I put it together with another stat called the tightness of the launch angle. That this is something that Alex Chamberlain came with, fantastic analyst that I really recommend reading everything he puts out. And this is like, how consistent is the batter on getting the ball batted on his launch angle? How he repeats his swing in a way that you get like the same launch angle over and over again. Putting these two stats together, you get a quotient. That's why it's called Q. It's simply dividing one by the other and ranking it in a way, you know, that the higher this quotient, you get like the best of both worlds, the hard-hitted with in a consistent way. So that gives you an idea who has this raw power, and he is could be, you know, could possibly get better hit balls. There are caveats to it, and we will talk about it because I saw, you know, the list that you put it together. Mm-hmm. They're very interesting cases, so mm-hmm. I won't get ahead of me on that.
No, it's an awesome tool because for the longest time, you had to either go to different websites like Connor's or to this or that. And then for a second there, or he still has it, but you mentioned Chamberlain on the pitch leaderboard. He started incorporating.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he started in the pitch leaderboard. Now, if it wasn't on Tableau, I'd be excited because that thing it gets very slow and then resets. And the information there is amazing. Like, you just have to have patience. That's all I have to say because there'll be certain times where you have to redo things, but the stuff is insane. But he had blast and dynamic hard hit and stuff on there kind of together. But then you took it a step further by A, putting on a very more usable platform, and B, you incorporated the launch angles and the line drives and ground balls, things that aren't, I don't think, discussed enough in corporation with it. The dynamic hard hit rate I absolutely love because it's like it makes so much sense. Why should a guy like Giancarlo, who hits 110 mile an hour ground ball, get credited for a great hit? Like, he hit a ground ball. We don't care about a ground ball in the grand scheme of things just because he hit it hard. There's little factors like that I think are pretty good. Yeah. But you incorporated so many things into this. And for the most part, it checks out. Ronald Acuna is number one. Shohei Ohtani is number two. No surprise. But there are a couple guys I want to ask you about because Tyler O'Neill is number three. And if you just want to talk about C-ball, hit ball hard, well, he's one of your best ones. So that makes a ton of sense. Is what do you see in when you look at Tyler O'Neill? He's ranked third on the queue here. And do you obviously it's justifiable because the stats point to it. But what do you think pushes him up above so many other people that I don't think most would expect to be this high?
So Tyler O'Neill, I mean, if last year Matt Olson was the prime example of how Q could help you you know, find these nuggets in your fantasy season, because when I came with this, I even did an article pointing out that Matt Olson could have an MVP season this year, and I mean he was a top six to top seven guy this year when the American League was loaded with amazing guys like Vladdy, like Shohei and others, you know. And Q led me to see that while he struck like hell last year, he was still, you know, hitting very hard, and his swing was getting a little bit better, not, you know, hugely better time after time, but there was a trend there that was worth. And I did was gamble on him getting a little bit more of contact. That was the only thing that he needed, improve a little bit in that contact, and as long as he could hit the ball, he was going to do amazing things. And that's one of the things that we have to be careful when evaluating batters with Q. Yes, guys will show a huge amount of power, but they have to hit the ball. And that's something that you might try to, you know, risk and be... get good luck and on them hitting, getting more contact later on. But if they improve in contact, you can bet that they will do amazing things. So Tyler O'Neill, going back to Tyler O'Neill, at the beginning of July, I did a follow-up article, and he was the guy that I was recommending everyone to try to get, because he was improving in queue more and more and more. And that, as specs does with the 30, 15 days and things like that, that you can see these trends. If you see a guy improving in queue, that means that he could be for a great year. And oh boy, O'Neill, after since July, he was just doing crazy things. He put it at WRC plus of 151 from July on. So that he hit 19 homers in that span since July. So it could lead you to get these guys, but always be careful, because you will find guys that will strike out a lot. So as I know you're going to talk about,
we have a few of them. That's why it's so great when you see stuff like this, because they're ranked so close to each other, but we all know there's a flaw. There's something there that was Matt Olson's problem. He was striking out a ton. But he improved on that, started hitting for average, which, shocker, if you hit the ball hard and put it in play, you're going to get lucky more, or not lucky, productive more often than not. So it's just like common sense in baseball, and he did that. Tyler O'Neill, I love, and he did cut back a bit on the strikeouts, and it's just, you can't teach hitting the ball hard. And that's what's really good about this. That's why you can pinpoint some of these names we're going to talk. It's like, okay, that makes a lot of sense why they're here.
Yeah.
But also, I think it's a great tool to use, like you said, for draft. Don't like push them way, way up, but if you need a justification for it, or if you want to go like a round or two earlier on some of these guys to make sure you get them, are you looking for power? Sure. Yeah. This is a great way to go do it. And the next guy I want to talk to, who's ranked fourth on the season, is Miguel Sano. And when we're thinking of, you know, Acuna, Otani, O'Neill, I don't think many people would have said Sano in the top of their head at four. So that's why it's a great conversation, because we know time and time again, batting average is not his friend. He had a 247 season. He had a 264 season. If you got 247, you'd be stoked. If you got 260, you'd be great. But he's also at 223 this year, 204, 199. What he always does, get on the field, you know, 135. That was this. He played 135 games this year. That's the most he's played in his entire career. He hit 30 home runs. We know he's got ridiculous power. And Q, I think, gives us the backing to say, yeah, this is what he does. He crushes the baseball. So now when you look at Miguel Sano's profile here, how do you look at this and go, okay, I loved Tyler O'Neill. How do I feel about Miguel Sano?
Yeah, the thing with Miguel Sano is that his strength, and this is, I cannot overstate it enough, you have to follow the trends. And Miguel Sano's trends were awful. So, he was not improving at all in his... I always like to put on this, for this fan graphs, it's amazing with the rolling averages graphs. I mean, we should, and I know Scott Shu from Pitcher List will be very happy that I'm talking about this, because he always makes sure that everyone tries to use them more. Those rolling averages need to be used. You can use Q and you can see how it's trending, and you can put it and see the K percentage for the same time frame that you are comparing Q. And if you don't see any improvement in K percentage, the guy can hit the ball hard, but you need to hit it to put it in play. So it's a red flag. O'Neill, he's still a big strikeout guy. He will not go a lot down there, but he's got better, a little bit better. So the more balls that you can hit, more chances you're going to have to have those homer or doubles or triple. And he has the added advantage of stolen bases. So you can, you know, go behind that. Sano, I mean, he got, I think he improved his walk percentage.
Yeah, he did over 11%. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's great. But we need him to bat. to hit the ball. And that's, I'm going to go a little bit ahead. Zunino, that's the same thing with Zunino. The guy has ridiculous power too, but he's not caught in those strikeouts. And he, I mean, Joey Gallo's another example. And actually, I used Gallo as a comp in my article last year. We're introducing the stat because he's the counter example. I put these rolling averages for K percentage, and you could see how Gallo usually even goes on the wrong side of the graphs. His K percentage is, as the season goes on, they get worse, at the opposite of Olsen. So that's the big, I don't know if to say flaw, but it's something that you have to be very, very aware when using this stat.
Okay, so you caught on to my list here. You caught on to it. But that was my question. Yeah, Zunino's right there. 33 home runs, the dude crushed, but he had like 202 or something.
Yeah.
And that's like, okay, if you want to catch your two late and you don't worry about your batting average, that's awesome. You get 33 home runs from your catcher, that's ridiculous. But you better have a very good batting average on that team somewhere, up a couple places, because that's going to be dangerous. But at least it kind of gives you an idea, I guess, if you want to stream a catcher, because Zunino wasn't drafted in a lot of places. Like, you can kind of roll those dice if you want.
Sure. That's helpful. That can be helpful sometimes. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, something you could look at there. And then the other guy won, and Zunino was sixth on the season. Bobby Dalbec was ninth. And Bobby Dalbec, I wrote about him so many times for DFS this year, for waiver wire ads this year. Because when you look at his profile, and there's a reason he rates out very well in Q, the guy hits the snot out of the baseball. Like, just destroys the baseball. But, and, you know, 34% K rate's 8% down from last year. So I guess it's a bright spot. You get 240, not horrible, but he just can't consistently put it together. Where do you stand on a guy like Bobby Dalbec?
I love Bobby Dalbec. I mean, I will not get enough shares of Bobby Dalbec as I want to get for next year. And he was also in my follow-up article. I was recommending everyone that was thinking starting any dynasty league or things like that, or they could trade for him in July to get him, because I really believe that he's going to be a great baseball hitter. Not a contact hitter, of course, but he's going to do a lot of damage, and he will get the counted stat. Just for as an example, Dalbec, he finished this year with a batting average of 240 for the season, right? And he also had, let me check here, a WOBA for the season of 330. But since July 9, he was batting 270 almost. And his WOBA was almost 390 since July. So that's something you cannot just simply ignore. His WRC plus since July was 144. And he finished the season with 107 because he was doing really bad at the beginning. But he finished, you know, the three last months of Bobby Dalbec's season were really, really, really good. So, and as you said, he just murders every time he hits the ball, he murders it. And he's a little, there are signs of improving in terms of contact. That's the things that we should be looking for. The small increments in the batting average are really significant for these guys, because those translate in a lot more homers and it adds to the counting stats. So those are the guys that I love to look for.
No, I like that a lot. Bobby Dalbec's the guy I'm with you that if you kind of gave up on him early, you would never know the way he started to hit the ball later. And I joked around that, you know, everyone talks about the three true outcomes in baseball. Well, Bobby Dalbec's a two true outcome guy for the most part. He's going to strike out, or he's going to hit it off the monster probably, or over the monster. Like that's what he's going to do, because it's just watching that guy hit. It just, I feel for the baseball sometimes. It's ridiculous what he can do. But, you know, a 240 average, even in this era of baseball, isn't horrible. It's not crushing you. Like that's it's probably like a little below average. I don't know what the average number is, but it's got to be 245, 250 or something. 240 might be the average this year for all I know because it was so bad. But he's a phone. He's only 26, so he can keep improving, which is great. Like Sano, who's been playing, he's probably still young. He's like 30, but he's been around for so long. Just, we have not seen it at all. So that's frustrating. Like Tyler O'Neill's young, like still has room to improve, which is great. So that's always a kind of a deciding factor for me when trying to figure things out on growth per se.
Sure.
They're
entering their prime at 27 years old.
Yeah, exactly. And we did, we said it like a bunch of times talking about these hitters and the NQ. Strikeouts is a big thing. Do you plan on incorporating strikeouts into Q?
So I'm doing also a revamping for specs and Q and adding. I'm getting more into even more into numbers, machine learning, and things like that. I don't have still like or exactly what I'm going to tinker, but I think I would probably do something in that regard. If you look at it, the tightness of the launch angle indirectly is indirectly related to this, to the strikeouts, because there are, if a guy is not consistent in their swing, they are usually erratic when swinging. It's not completely related, to be honest.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But it's not exactly related, because there are guys like Joey Gallo that has a relatively tight standard deviation of the launch angle, but that means that they swing always the same, but they are swinging always the same to the wrong place. Yeah, to the wrong spot.
A robot. It just, the ball's not there.
Yeah. I read something like he was on the one of the guys that missed most balls in the exactly heart of the zone. It's the zone five, as a Statcast put it in their search system. So I mean that's really something that it's not good at all, because pitchers tend to avoid that zone for a reason. And if you know you can put it there for a guy that means trouble for the batter.
Man, Joey Gallo missing that many is on basically on a tee is what that is. For those that aren't looking, zone five is if you put it on a tee, essentially. And a player with his power missing more balls in literally the perfect spot on paper to hit a baseball is that's so rough to think about.
I mean, it's baffling, because the guy has so much power, and he could be amazing, something really, really, especially playing, you know, as a left-handed batter, playing there in the Yankee Stadium. He could put so many balls out of the break. He already does, but he could do so much damage, and it's disappointing. And I know that a lot of people were expecting better from him. I think especially him, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I thought he'd be flourishing in that ballpark, and it just did not happen at all, which is a big, big bummer. But like you said, it's kind of one of those confusing things. We had a great Twitter thread today about pitchers throwing in the heart of the zone, and like Sean Manaea is on the list with like the craziest numbers in the world compared to like these other guys. And we're trying to figure out, you know, why is Robbie Ray being so successful? Next thing you know, out of nowhere, here's Sean Manaea with these just bonkers like statistics that make no sense at all. And that's kind of the beauty of this whole thing. Like, you have your awesome specs and your cue. There's all these great tools. But in the end, sometimes you just look at it going, how? Like what just happened? Like, where's the, like, what? Like, there's got to be a reason, right? But that's not always happen. Because I love the stats you guys make, and every year I keep incorporating more and more. But in the end, I'm always like, I see it, I feel it type guy, just from playing baseball for so long.
Sure.
So I watch Sean Manaea, and I'm like, this guy should be hit by everybody. Like, he should be hit by so many people. And then you know, some days he gets shelled, and then the next night he throws a complete game shutout and strikes out like nine. And I'm like, what? And
he can be infuriating, to be honest.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. Like, I'd never draft him, because I would never start him on the right day. Would never work at all. And It's just, you look at all the stats and it's just like, what? I don't believe it. But that was a fun one today. That was a fun one today. Looking at that going, what in the world?
Yeah.
It also felt good to have just a normal baseball conversation with no drama on Twitter, which was fun. We were all talking and working together. I'm sitting there just literally going, this is what we should be doing. Like, why doesn't this happen more often?
Sure. I'm all for it. I'm all for it, to be honest.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
But before we wrap up, I got a couple listener questions, but I do want to ask, you said you're going to start mixing and doing some new things, adjusting the specs and the queue. Where do you want to take this for next year? Because it was awesome already. Like, it was great. We talked about how you could use it to see streaming and other options or whatever throughout the season. Where do you want it to go for you next year? Do you want to just kind of take it to the next level for the same reasons, or do you have a different idea for it?
So I think the foundation is good enough. And I can build from there in terms of making it more user-friendly. And, you know, I want to add more graphical tools, more things that make it more like, if I want to have a direct answer and I want to be, you know, I don't want to mess with so many numbers, I can have the information. If I want to go deeper in it, I can have the information to make it more user friendly in a lot of ways. And I think that's important because not everyone has the time to go through all these numbers, to read all these articles that even how amazing they are, that's time that you need to put. And most of the people that plays fantasy baseball want, you know, like the executive summary of things to move on. That's why things like what you do with DFS is so good, because people can get the information, you know, here. I already did all the hard work behind it, and you can do with it what you need to do. What you want. So I think that's important. It's something sometimes we overlook as analysts. And I think the whole industry has an opportunity there to make things even easier to read. And I think not to be, you know, to sound that I'm because I write there, but I think PitcherList is moving in a good direction there. They're trying to make things more accessible for everyone. What they did with the players' pages this year, it's really, really cool, because you can have all things there. Not everyone is, you know, familiar with the Statcast, and even fan graphs can be a little bit overwhelming sometimes in terms of how they present things. So I think it's important to have things in a way that the user can feel more comfortable working with them. I'm all for it, that's what I want to do with it.
No, and you're already ahead of the game there, like I said, because like I can read things. I get so fed up with Statcast because there's so many things I want, or Baseball Savant, I mean, so many things I want to do and I just can't figure out. Like, I see people do it and there's the search engines, and I get frustrated. I'm like, I don't have time to figure this out. It's annoying. But, you know, Fangraphs is better. Still, there's a few things that get a little clunky, but it's better. Like you said, you have your thing. It has the main stats right there for me. I don't have to make a custom leaderboard. You have already the chart you can make. You're going to improve on more things for that, which I agree is, that's one thing as analysts that I think we need to always remember, is some people love the long exploratory things. That's great. That can always be there in case someone wants to go double check on something. But I think the easier we make things, the more popular it's going to be and the better it's going to be. That's 100%. I agree with what you said there, because even if it's like, maybe someone's got the time, but it's like a quick, hey, I'm deciding between two players, I got to figure it out. Like, Fab's done in 5 minutes. Like, let me go do it. That's important. That's very important. Exactly. So I like where you're going with that.
Sure.
And I'm looking forward to it as well. Let's
thank you. And I want to public, you know, thank you for all the support that you've given me on this. And I'm really, really, you know, I really appreciate it. And I mean, thanks a lot.
No problem. Good work, and good work by good people, I will spread all the time. I have no problem with that at all. So it's like some, I don't know, not everybody likes Howard Stern, but one of his things he always said was, you know, he's famous, so everyone wanted him to advertise for them. That was easy. He would never advertise unless he endorsed the product. He wouldn't do it. He didn't care how much they paid or how little they paid. He wouldn't do it. I kind of try to keep that same mantra. Like, yeah, I could retweet every tweet, and I do a lot, but I have to like it too, because I don't want to just like spread the word for people to check stuff out. So, because there's so much out there, but you do great stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. David Mendelson, our buddy, D Mindy. you mentioned Triple Play earlier. His brother, yes, Doc. I always call him Doc. I can't even remember his real name either.
Eric,
there you go. Most people just know me as Bubba. It's like, you know me as Brian, but most people just know me as Bubba. David Mendelson, he has a real question for you, like serious, I should say, and then a not so serious in typical Triple Play fashion.
I love first those guys.
They're the best. They're the absolute best. He asks, what are the chances you think the A's re-sign Starling Marte?
Man, I hope so. I mean, I have no idea if they're going to do it, because they are so cheap that anything I think he's going to get a good dollar pay. So he deserves it. But I really, really want him in my team as long as possible. I don't have that's a non-answer, to be honest, but I wish it happens.
He's getting older, so he might not look to break the bank. That's where it's going to get interesting. He might just want to be happy. Then again, he deserves to break the bank. So we'll see how this goes. There'll be something.
There's an interesting thing. The stolen base looks like it's coming back to the game. And this is because we got to an efficiency point, and I know the traditionalists hate all of us number guys because we would talk like that, but there's been a lot of studies that say that if the rate of success for stolen bases go beyond 75%, it's worth it. It's really worth it. And we finally got that threshold for the whole league this year. So teams are like refining the stolen base can be useful, and that it can be afforded, that it's worth it as an offensive weapon. So I think these guys that can steal bases are going to be more valuable every time, because they are going to get more opportunities. And that, I mean, at the end, it's a thing of volume, you know, And I that's why I hope he can be in my team really for a long time, as long as possible.
No, that's a good point. And one thing I saw in the fall league, they're doing the pitch clock for the pitchers and hitters. It's for both of them. But we saw more stealing, because when the pitch clock gets to like 2 or 1, they got to throw. So you can take a jump sooner.
Right.
There was a lot of stealing going on. And there's a couple of spots where the catcher never even threw the ball. The second or third, like he's staring through the ball because he had no chance. So that'll be interesting to see how that develops as well.
That's cool.
The other question Mr. Mendelson had, and this is typical Triple Play, as I said, would you rather wipe with sandpaper or use hot sauce as eye drops?
Oh my God. I think I'm going to risk, because I have two eyes. So I'm going to risk it with that.
Yeah. I think it's a great point. I didn't even think of that part. I think it's a great point, because the whole idea of I can still live life and make it work with technology these days with like blurry vision. The sandpaper thing just is beyond not good. Like beyond not good. So I think I'm with you on that one. That's he always has something like that. It's unbelievable, these guys, but I love them. But I think we're on the same page there. But Carlos, that'll wrap us up for another fun episode here. Remember, everybody, check out his work at pitcherlist.com and on Twitter at C.A. Marcano, M-A-R-C-A-N-O. But Carlos, I always enjoy having you on the show. I always enjoy chatting with you if it's here, on Twitter, wherever. It's always great. You're doing great work. So I truly appreciate that, and I look forward to chatting with you again as this product continues to develop, because it is great, and maybe next time you'll be working for the Mariners or something. But it's pretty good stuff.
Oh, man, I wish. So, no, I mean, the pleasure is always mine, Brian. I really, really enjoy talking with you, baseball or anything. And I mean, if there is one guy in the community that deserves all the praise and all the following that you have gotten, it's you, because you do
honest, good job, which is really, really cool to see, because there might be guys with more followers, but sometimes they don't check well in the honest and nice part of the game. So I'm really, really honored to be anytime that you invite me here.
Always, my friend. I appreciate it. And again, we will do it again. Definitely do it again, because I enjoy it. Your knowledge and your everything, it's always great. So looking forward to next time. But make sure you guys, again, follow him on Twitter at C.A. Marcano, M-A-R-C-A-N-O. You'll not regret it. It's the great content. And this is just like the tool he has developed, the stats he's developed. He writes amazing articles. Like, he breaks it down. Like, he could have wrote a Giants article that would have made him the most famous guy on Twitter. Didn't happen, yeah. But he had other great stuff. His articles are great as well. So go check all that out at pitcherlist.com. And that website, they have some cool things coming up in a couple months. So go check that out as well. But again, this was Bench with Bubba, episode 409. Catch you guys next time.
Better with a home policy from American Family Insurance, because you'll feel protected no matter how the wind blows. Also, you can keep enjoying the home of your dreams. And our expert agents can help you save up to 23% when you bundle home with auto. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.